You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's the holiday time and you're looking for things to do to relax, spend time with your loved ones, and you think, gee, maybe I should check out, we should check out a romantic movie. Well, we're going to ask you to think again because here's a thought. How can you compete with the perfect line, the perfect person, and the perfect time? Is there a scene in one of those movies that changed your life for the better or worst? We want to hear that story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Romantic movies.
The Woody Allen movie, Played Again, Sam, was all about Woody Allen playing a character who was intimidated by Casablanca. He could never live up to that
standard. It's very high in those movies.
It's tough on men and women, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but 877-8-MY-TAKE for your stories. So the Bureau of Land Management and environmental groups are involved in a pitched battle in the waning days of the Bush administration, and joining us to talk about it is David Albersworth, who's a senior policy advisor for the Wilderness Society. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Basically, the dispute is over 100,000 acres of drilling leases that would permit gas and oil exploration or even drilling on 100,000 acres in Utah, and it's in an area that has not been explored before. And first of all, I'm wondering why this battle is happening right now, Dave.
Well, this battle has actually been going on for the past 8 years. This particular battle that happened on Friday is just one sale in the quarterly lease sales that the Bureau of Land Management holds in the state of Utah and elsewhere throughout the West.
And is this one of those situations where the outgoing president is attempting to use regulatory authority to make something happen that legislatively wasn't really viable, or is this something else?
This is, I think, one of the initiatives of the Bush administration to put its stamp, its policy stamp on oil and gas development policies on federal lands in the West as they are going out of the door, yes.
Now, with the price of oil declining to, you know, in the mid-30s over the weekend, is it possible that it makes a better case for the Wilderness Society and other environmental groups?
Well, I think what we're hoping is that perhaps the silver lining here for the next 4 years is that the declining price of energy may provide the Obama administration with an opportunity to reevaluate these aggressive oil and gas development policies on public lands. We certainly hope they do that.
Well, certainly Robert Redford, who speaks personally about his familiarity with these lands, spoke very, very passionately about the potential, at least. Let's listen to what Robert Redford had to say.
There's so much deception, so much sleight of hand here. I mean, how would you feel if you had an heirloom that was centuries old in your family? Someone came in while you were not looking, or they distracted you by creating something over here and they took it away from you. How would you feel?
Now, Dave, do you share that sense of manipulation and dishonesty? I mean, in the West, in fact, people are used to this battle going on over oil and drilling rights versus wilderness rights going back really more than a century.
Well, although that's true, I think what's happened over the past 8 years is that the Bush administration's policies favoring oil and gas development over the protection of all of these other values that Mr. Redford and the rest of us have been concerned about has been so extreme that there's just been rising opposition to those policies, not just in Utah, but elsewhere, states like Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, New Mexico, where traditionally a lot of people have supported the oil and gas industry. They've looked at what the consequences are of all of this aggressive development on these pristine lands and have decided that they have simply gone too far.
Now, drill, baby, drill, of course, was the mantra and the refrain at the Republican National Convention. On this sale that took place on Friday, where would it have an impact specifically? Are you familiar with the map?
Yeah, if I may, I'd just like to read you a very brief passage from what the BLM itself describes as one of the areas, Desolation Canyon. What they said about this area is that it is a magnificent, has magnificent wilderness qualities. It represents one of the largest blocks of roadless BLM public lands within the continental United States. It's a place where a visitor can experience true solitude, where the forces of nature continue to shape the colorful, rugged landscape. That is the Bureau of Land Management's own description of one of these areas.
Well, Dave, Dave, it sounds like it could use a couple of pumps and a few derricks in there, and maybe some truck trails.
I'll tell you what, we have lots of pumps and derricks throughout the western United States. The Bush administration issued 35,000 drilling permits during the past 8 years, many of which aren't even being used. They've issued more drilling permits to the oil and gas industry than they can even use. We've got 45 million acres of public lands under lease, and to give you a sense of the size of that, that equals the land area of the states of New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont combined.
All right, but what if in this oil collapse that has taken place, environmental groups such as yours get the upper hand and during the Obama administration really shut down the development of future fossil resources, and all of a sudden when oil spikes up to $150 or $200 a barrel in 5 years' time, we will have wished we went into some of these areas. What do you say to that?
Well, we're not interested in shutting down the oil and gas industry in the West. The sad fact of this particular situation is that in Utah, had the BLM decided to protect all of the areas that we wished and asked for them to protect, there would still be opportunities for thousands of wells to be drilled on public lands elsewhere in that state.
And for the Friday sale, any idea what it amounts to in terms of reserves potential?
No, I just don't have that.
Right. Well, that's hard to assess anyway. In many ways, that's the reason for going in, to actually determine some of those numbers.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you suspect a positive outcome here. What's the next day in court?
The next day in court, I think, is in early January, January 12th, I think, and we'll find out whether the court wishes to impose a restraining order on the issuance or the conveyance of these leases.
Again, one more event before the inauguration. Dave Albersworth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dave Albersworth is Senior Policy Advisor for the Wilderness Society, in court with the Bureau of Land Management on oil and gas leasing in Utah.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.